I want to ask you to open up with me to the Old Testament, and we're going to be in Joshua chapter 24 this Sunday morning. Joshua chapter number 24 back here in the Old Testament, and I'm just going to read two verses to you here in a moment, and we'll see what the Lord has for us this morning. Now, if you were here with us last Sunday morning, you know that we were in Joshua chapter 1, the very first chapter in this book of the Bible. Well, this week we're skipping all the way back to the back, and we're in chapter 24, the very last chapter in the book of Joshua. And as we get here to chapter 24, just to give you an idea as to the context of this part of this passage that we're about to read, Joshua has led the children of Israel at this point into the land of Canaan. They've crossed over Jordan. They've defeated the city of Jericho, the city of Ai. They've gone to war and they've battled against the various kingdoms of the land of Canaan. And at the end of it all, they have finally conquered, for the most part, the land that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But there are still battles to face. There are still temptations that are going to be there in that land that floweth with milk and honey. And so, knowing that, Joshua takes this final chapter and he uses it to give a speech to encourage and warn and inspire God's people as they go forward in their nation's history. And I want you to see a familiar passage, but I want us to take a fresh look at it this morning if the Lord will help me. And I want to look here in Joshua 24, beginning in verse number 14, if you'll look there with me. And the Bible says here in verse number 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for these encouraging words that we've read this morning. And Lord, I'm glad that even though the world may be getting darker and even though it may be getting ever more sinful as time goes on, Lord, I just want to thank you. There's still some brothers and sisters in Christ that are saying, "As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord." And Lord, I pray for my church family this morning. Got a lot of them out sick. Lord, I pray you'd heal them. I pray you'd stir their hearts, draw them near to you. But Lord, I pray especially for those who are here this morning, that Lord, I believe there is a spiritual need that only you can fill. And Lord, what a better time for us to consecrate ourselves unto you than at the beginning of this year 2019. Lord, help me now to preach. I pray you'd fill me with your Spirit. I pray you'd get the message across to each and every one who so needs it. And Lord, I pray that Jesus would be glorified in everything said and done. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and for His sake. Amen and amen. Here in this first Sunday morning service of 2019, I realize that it is a time of year where we are often thinking about resolutions. We think about changing our diet or changing our lifestyle. Maybe you've resolved to stop eating certain foods and start eating others. Maybe, like many people, you've given in to the ads that all the gyms are putting out, and you've gone out and got yourself a gym membership that you'll use for about 2 months. Or maybe you've done something else. Maybe you've said, "Well, I'll spend less time on social media," or "I'll spend more time with my family," or "I won't give myself so much to work, and I'm going to travel in this year 2019. There are various types of resolutions that people choose to do at the beginning of a year like this one. But really, when we think about a resolution, what we are thinking of is a plan. We are thinking about a decision that somebody has made prior to acting it out. Let me tell you what I mean. There may be things coming up in the year 2019 that would prevent you from getting in shape. Maybe you'll have to have surgery done. Maybe you'll just eat too many pizzas. I don't know. But there could be all kinds of circumstances that could come your way that would hinder you and tempt you away from fulfilling the decision you've made. And so rather than just kind of going out there and just letting things happen, instead what you have done, what you have said in effect when you make a resolution, is you are saying, I have decided in my heart, I have already decided to make preparation to do what I'm going to set out to do. Well, as I look here in Joshua 24, I see a man in Joshua who realizes there are many temptations ahead. He realizes that not every battle has been fought and won. He knows there will be hardships. He knows there will be setbacks. And so he raises an offer to the children of Israel. He says, if you are not going to serve the Lord, then at least figure out who you're going to serve. I don't believe he was admonishing them to go off and serve other gods, but at the very least he was warning them that they had better decide what they're going to do. He said, if you're not going to serve the Lord, decide this day, not ahead, not in the future, not when the trials come, but decide right now who you're going to serve. But just in case you're wondering about me and my household, me and my family, I want to let you know right now we've already decided we're going to serve the Lord. You know what Joshua was doing? He was making a resolution. And I believe it's the same resolution that you and I sitting here at Ball Road Baptist Church on January the 6th, 2019, we need to make this one as well. Not just a resolution to get in better shape. Not a resolution to eat healthier or to travel more. But every one of us who name the name of Christ ought to make a resolution here and now that in my home and in my life, I'm going to serve the Lord. This morning, with that thought in mind, I want to preach to you on the subject, resolved to serve the Lord. Resolved to serve the Lord. Now, in saying this, let me make one thing very clear, that Joshua is not the only one in the Bible who saw the need to decide something before the temptation came along. I think also about Daniel, there in the book of Daniel. Daniel was just a young man, even a child by most of our standards, and yet he was taken away from his homeland. He was taken away from a place of peace and prosperity and blessing, and he was transported to the kingdom of Babylon, where he was a minority, where their customs were pagan and evil and ungodly. And yet one day the king determined that all of those young men were to be fed from unclean food, from sinful things that God told them they were not to eat of. But I like what the Bible said. The Bible said that before the food ever arrived, before the temptation ever reared its ugly head, Daniel had already purposed in his heart that he would not be defiled by the king's meat. I think about Paul. Paul never said it quite so explicitly, but throughout the life of Paul, he realized that there were going to be trials, there was going to be persecution, there were going to be setbacks in life and in the ministry. And so Paul simply determined that whether I'm blessed or whether I'm not, whether I have plenty or whether I go on and have to suffer loss, he said, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ regardless of what life may send my way. Now I want to say this morning, friend, I don't know what 2019 holds for you. It might hold blessing or it might hold heartache. It might be the greatest year you've ever had or it might be the worst year you've ever had. But I do believe this morning that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you love Him to any degree, today, here and now, we need to resolve that we're going to serve Jesus this year despite what Satan or this world throws our way. But I also realize this, a resolution, a decision, without actually making any changes really doesn't do anybody any good, does it? I mean, I can stand up here this morning and I can say I'm going to get in better shape in 2019. I can say it till I'm blue in the face. But if I don't change what I'm doing and what I'm eating, by the way, it ain't going to make one bit of good. It ain't going to do anything to change my health. Now, you might say, well, preacher, I'm going to travel more. We've mentioned that one. I'm going to travel more in the year 2019. But just saying you're going to do it doesn't do you a whole lot of good until you put the money down on those plane tickets or till you start to plan out your itinerary. What I'm saying to you this morning is that all it is wishful thinking until we make some concrete changes that will affect the outcome. And so this morning, I don't simply want you to say, preacher, I'm resolved to serve Jesus this year. Preacher, I'm resolved to live my life for Christ this year. No, I want to ask you the question, what are you going to do in 2019 to serve Jesus Christ? Well, I'm going to give you some very simple things you and I ought to change, some resolutions we ought to make as we serve the Lord in 2019. I want to say, first of all, we ought to resolve to read the Bible every single day. We ought to say, Lord, by your help and by your grace, I will read the Bible every day in the year 2019. Now you say, well, preacher, I see how I need to read the Bible, and I realize the importance of Bible reading, but I just don't have the time. But I really believe this morning. I believe if most of us, and I do say us, I'm as guilty of it as anybody, if most of us would get off the phone and get off the social media and get off the television just for a little while, oh, we'd find that we have all kinds of time to live for Jesus that we never even knew that we had. I remember years ago when I was just a young teenager, I got saved, of course, when I was 14 years old, but I didn't live for Jesus then. I want to be honest with you, when I got saved, the Lord changed me on the inside. All of a sudden, I had a desire to go to church that I didn't have before. I'll be honest, that was the case. I had a desire to pray that I didn't really have before, and I had a desire to read the Bible that I had never really experienced before after Jesus saved my soul. But can I go ahead and let you know, I didn't read it right there up front. Oh, I started and stopped a few times, much like some of you all have. I got in there and I'd start in Genesis 1. Oh, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then I got in there, got to reading about those 6 days of creation and that seventh day where God rested. And I thought, that's pretty interesting. I got in there reading about Adam and Eve and how that Satan tempted them and they fell and were cast out of the Garden of Eden. And I thought, man, this is pretty good. There's some adventure. There's some story here. I like it. And then all of a sudden I got into thou so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and he begat so-and-so, and that one begat so-and-so. And can I just go ahead and tell you, Brother Stephen, first time I ever tried to read it, I don't think I made it past about Genesis chapter 7. A few other times I'd pick it up and I'd read it, and I might get through Genesis, praise God. I might have gotten through Exodus, praise God. But about the time I got in there in Leviticus, thou shalt not. Can I tell you what happened? My attention span began to wander, and I stopped reading it. And so I went for several years in my Christian life where I was resolved somewhere deep down that I was going to read the Bible. I had decided I wanted to get it done, but oh, I had failed to do anything about it. I still remember, I don't even remember exactly who the preacher was, but I remember sitting in Walridge Baptist Church one Sunday morning. And the preacher, a guest preacher, stood up and he made this statement. He said, if you would give up your television watching time and you would give up your time on the phone with your girlfriend or your boyfriend and you would give up this time that you waste on so many entertainments, you would find that you could read through the Bible faster than you'd ever expect. Can I just be honest with you? I'm nothing special, but I realized that in that same message, there were a lot of other teenagers sitting there that thing went in one ear and out the other. But something hit me. It suddenly occurred to me that what if I try them out? What if I actually try it? Could I read through the Bible? And y'all know what I did? I got downright Pharisaical. I mean, somebody'd have the television on in the house, I would flat out like go like this and walk by that thing. I wasn't living by grace. I was living by the law. Amen. I was not. If you had a TV on in my presence, I was going, you know, you're wicked. And I decided I wasn't going to watch television. I wasn't going to stay on the phone. I wasn't going to do any of the other things until I'd read that Bible from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. You say, what'd you do, preacher? For 3 months, I read that Bible every day, every chance I got. For 3 months, and I read from Genesis 1 to Revelation chapter 22. You say, preacher, well, did that really help you? Well, that was the time I was called to preach. That was when all of a sudden the Lord started working in my life. That's around when I decided to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I hadn't even done that. But the Lord worked on my heart through the reading of His Word. You know what that Bible says? The Bible said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The Bible said, where can you find cleanliness? Where can you find purity? Where can you get your heart and your life right with God? I'll tell you where. You'll find it in reading the words of God. And this Bible will either draw you to Christ, or the lack of this Bible will draw you to the world. Why don't you make a commitment this year, preacher? Before the Lord, I'm going to say, I'll read the Bible every day. Joshua said it like this in Joshua chapter 1. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. I realize something. I'm about to move on to my second point. But I realize something that some of you all are thinking. Some of y'all are looking at this book and you're saying, preacher, I haven't read anything that long in my whole life. By the way, that's a shame too. And some of you are looking at it, you're saying, well, preacher, I mean, that seems like a rather daunting, time-consuming task. I don't think I could ever read through the Bible in the year 2019. Let me tell you a few things about this book before I move on. This King James Bible that I hold in my hand has 788,280 words in it. 788,280 words in it. Sounds awful daunting, doesn't it? Come on, I'm not going to get mad at you. I ain't going to get on to you. I'm telling you, it sounds rather daunting, doesn't it? 788,000 plus words in this King James Bible. I got to reading and found that the average American, not speed readers, not the most educated, just the average American reads about 200 words per minute. 200 words a minute. So I know what you're thinking. Well, 200 words I can read in a minute and 788,000 words. How am I ever going to get through the Bible? Well, I went ahead and did the math for you. Can I tell you what that equals out to? If you got up in the morning and read this book for 30 minutes every morning, just 30 minutes, got up, picked up your Bible and read and set a timer for 30 minutes, and then you read it for 30 minutes at night, one total hour each day, do you know how quickly you would read this even if you were just an average reader? If you read it for 1 hour a day, you would read through this Bible nearly 6 times a year. 6 times a year. If you were only an average reader and you decided to skip it at night or skip it in the morning and only read it for 30 minutes a day, you would read through this Bible, on average, you'd read through it just over 3 times in the year 2019. Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, 3 times just this year. And if you are a particularly busy individual, genuinely busy, you say, preacher, I don't know if I can even give 30 minutes to it. Well, I kind of believe you're probably lying. But maybe you say, well, preacher, I couldn't possibly give 30 minutes to reading the Word of God. Well, let me just run this by you. If you only set a timer for 10 minutes, and each day you set that timer for 10 minutes, and you started reading the Bible at the beginning, you finished reading the Bible when the timer went off, you would most assuredly read through this Bible in the year 2019. I want to ask you something, friend. Is 10 minutes of your time enough to give to God every day? Is 30 minutes of your time too much to give to Jesus who died for you and died for me and rose again? No, I dare say it's not. We ought to make a resolved. We ought to make a resolution. This year, I'm going to read this Bible every day. I'll go on and say this. We ought to make a resolution this year that we will spend time in prayer every day. I know some of you are looking for something a lot more profound than this, but I'm going to make one thing very clear. Just these simple things, I believe, would make such a change in your life and a change in your home and a change in this church. As a matter of fact, I believe if all God's people would just commit to daily spending time with Jesus, it might just change the United States of America and it might just change this world. Preacher, I will commit to spend time in prayer every single day. There are four times in the New Testament that the Apostle Paul uses the phrase, pray without ceasing. Now, I've heard some preachers stand up and try to explain that what that means is that we ought to always maintain a constant spirit of prayer. I don't know exactly that's what it's saying, but I can tell you one thing, I do know what it's saying. It's saying don't stop praying. Amen? Can we at least get this out of it? That pray without ceasing carries with it the idea that we must not stop our prayer life. I wouldn't ask anybody to raise their hand this morning. This is between you and the Lord. It's none of my business. It's none of anybody else's business, but it's between you and the Lord. But I ask you this morning, when was the last time you prayed? Some of you, you prayed this morning when you got up. You prayed for the church service. You've prayed since you've been here. And you know how to get a hold of God. But maybe there's some others, maybe many others, sitting in churches just like this one. Maybe sitting here at Ball Road Baptist Church on this first Sunday morning of the year. And in your heart, you'd be willing to admit, preacher, I hadn't prayed yet today. Preacher, I haven't even prayed this weekend. Preacher, it's been over a week since the last time I spoke to my Lord. You say, preacher, I don't really think that's the case. I believe that's the norm. I believe in this Laodicean church era that we are living in, which is so consumed with self and so consumed with entertainment, we are living in a day and age where it is no longer a strange thing for a believer to go months without prayer, but it has become a normal thing and an expected thing for believers not to even talk to the one that saved them. I want to say it ought not so to be, but Christian, it ought not to be that way. We ought to commit that in 2019, I will spend time in prayer with my Lord every single day. I told y'all just a minute ago that I couldn't sit in this chair because I'd exercise this week. Y'all go ahead and you can laugh at me again if you want to. But I tell you what, can I tell you what the big difference was? Can I tell you what made such a difference, why I can't sit down right now? Is that I worked out muscles that I hadn't been working out before. Now I'm just going to tell you, my normal routine is I do some bench press and I do some of those curls and things like that. Or I'll go out and I'll walk. I can't run. I got a big old rod in my foot that keeps me from doing that. But I'll get out and walk sometimes. And so I got used for a long time to just doing the same old exercises. You know the problem with that, though? They only exercise the same areas, the same muscles. And so can I tell you what my problem is this morning and this weekend? Can I tell you where it comes from? Is that I somehow, in the back of my mind, decided all of a sudden, well, maybe I should try working out my legs more. Maybe I should try working out my back more. Areas that I had not been working out before. Now, we're getting somewhere. I'm not giving y'all a workout routine. We're getting somewhere on this. And so do you know why I'm so sore this morning, why I'm in so much pain this morning? Because sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's uncomfortable to start using some muscles you hadn't used before. Y'all with me? Can somebody please help us out here and say amen? That sometimes when you use something you hadn't been using before, it can be a bit uncomfortable. It can be even a bit painful to get back in there and get using it. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. You all at least agree. Well, I realize prayer is not exercising a muscle. I know that. It's not physical. It's spiritual. But I do believe the same rules apply. Maybe you've sat here and you would be willing to admit between you and the Lord, Lord, you know I've not prayed. I've not spoken to you in some time. Maybe it's not that you haven't spoken to Him, but that your prayers have become cold and dead and formulaic. Now I lay me down to sleep. That kind of thing. Maybe you'd be willing to say, Lord, I haven't really gotten a hold of you. I haven't really spent real, genuine, heartfelt time in prayer in a while. Can I be honest with y'all this morning? I'm just going to go ahead and let you know so you don't get surprised when it happens. But if you commit to pray this year, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get down on an altar this morning and start that prayer life. You're going to start to put some feet to what you've committed to. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to feel a little strange. Maybe even a little uncomfortable. Might not even halfway know what to say. You might just feel like it's not even doing anything. Kind of like some of you quit exercising by February because you don't feel like it does anything. But I assure you of one thing. You keep exercising it. You keep going to Him in prayer. You keep on talking with Him. You keep on listening to Him. You keep on bringing your requests. You keep on bringing your praise and your worship. And before too long, it won't seem strange and uncomfortable, but it will seem glorious to get a hold of your Savior. But why don't you commit this morning? Why won't you make a resolve, a resolution? I'm going to pray every day in the year 2019. I'm going to read my Bible every day in the year 2019. What about this one? I will minister in some way every day in the year 2019. You know what Jesus said? I want you to think about this. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God. He is God manifest in the flesh. He is the everlasting Son of God. He is the great I Am. I mean, He's the King of kings and Lord of lords, the one whose name is above every name. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One of these days, everybody, even the atheist, is going to bow his knee and say Jesus is Lord. But I ask you this morning. If anybody in the universe could expect others to wait on them, wouldn't it be Jesus? Amen. He's the King of kings. Don't you wait on a king? If anybody could expect that others would bless him and help him, wouldn't it be the one that made all things and all people? But do you know what Jesus himself said when he walked on this earth? He said, I am not come to be ministered unto, but to minister. In other words, I didn't come here for anybody to do anything for me, but I came to do some things for others. I came to heal some sick. I came to raise some of the dead. I came to give everlasting life. I came to lay down my life on the cross of Calvary. I came to minister. And I ask you this morning, Christian, if Jesus, the one who is above all things, if he was enough to condescend to men of low estate, if he knew enough to come and to minister to others, then how much more ought you and I, who are nothing but dust, to minister one to another? The Bible said, let each esteem other better than themselves. Not equal to yourself, better than your own self. Couldn't you commit in the year 2019, every day I'm going to do something in some way to be an encouragement, a blessing, and a help to my brother and sister in Christ? I'll tell you this, and I'll move along. I'm not much for Christian acrostics. I'm not against them. I'm just not much for them. Sometimes I think things, we over-cutesify things. I mean, I like kind of a, you know, rough, tough, biblical kind of thing, I guess. But there's one I heard years ago, and it was joy. Who in here has ever heard the acrostic joy? J-O-Y. Jesus, others, yourself. J-O-Y. Now, the idea behind that is that we're to put Jesus first, others next, and yourself last. And everybody says, amen, preacher, amen. But if we're really being honest, you know what most of us do? Most of us live either the opposite of that or some jumbled up version of that. I tell you, some people live with self first, others next, and Jesus last. But can I tell you where most of us, I think, really do it as believers, at least genuine Bible-believing Christians? Can I tell you what most of us do? Most of us live yourself first, Jesus next, and others last, and we put everybody else on a back burner. You know what a person like that says? A person like that says things like this: well, I go to that church, but it just isn't doing anything for me. Now listen, I'm not going to get all over you this morning. I've already lost some of you here. Some of you already about half going to sleep or ready planning your meal. But for the rest of you who are still listening, let me make one thing very clear. I'm not saying church is not somewhere you ought to get something. I'm not saying you shouldn't come here and receive something. A pastor is to feed the flock of God, which the Lord, over which the Lord has made him overseer. And so what I do during the week is I get in the Bible and I study it and I read and I pray over it and I try to find the message God wants me to preach so I can come in here and preach it to you and feed you spiritually. Listen, if you came in here and you didn't get anything out of it, that's because either I haven't done what I need to or you've turned up your nose to the food God has for you. You should get something out of church. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But you want to know one of the greatest ways you can get something out of church? Is put something into it. Who in here is interested in how well Apple is doing in the stock market right now? You know why? You all aren't interested because you're not invested. Amen? I mean, anybody in here really interested in how Microsoft is doing, how their stock price is going right now? Who in here can even tell me what it is this morning? I bet you probably could, though, if you were heavily invested. Y'all with me this morning? How much more if we invested our time and our talent and our prayers and our attention and our money, yes, I said it, in what the Lord is doing? Could you do something to be a minister to somebody else? I'm going to tell you something. I'm a preacher. As a preacher, you're supposed to be a minister. You're supposed to minister to others. But I think somewhere along the lines, we've gotten this funny idea that it's only the preacher's job. And I'm not knocking you all, and I'm not even saying I'm great at it. I've got to work at it. But I am saying this. The Lord has called every one of us to be a minister to everyone else. So you know what that means you could do? That means maybe you could commit in the year 2019 that every day I'm going to think of some way, just not something big, doesn't have to be, it's just some small way I can be a blessing to another brother or sister in Christ or somebody who needs it. Maybe you can cook them a meal. Maybe you can write them a letter and send it to them. That's a forgotten art. How much nicer is that than just getting some text message going ding on your phone? Hey, maybe you can't write a letter. Maybe you could send them that text message or give them a phone call. Maybe you could go over and use some of your talents to be a help to them. Maybe you might not know how to stand up and preach a message to them, but you might know how to mow the yard. You might know how to get rid of some of those weeds in their flower bed. You say, preacher, that's crazy. I mean, I've got other things to do. Jesus first, others next, ourselves last. Amen? And would to God we would resolve in the year 2019 that I will strive to minister in some way to someone every day. I want to give you one last thought, and I promise you I'm done. We'll get ready for a time of invitation. May we resolve in 2019 to give the gospel to someone every single day. As I say that, I realize what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, preacher, I've never given the gospel to anyone on any day. How am I going to go from that to giving it to somebody every day? And I say, that's a shame. I know what some of you are saying. You're saying, well, preacher, I mean, I maybe give out a tract every once in a while, or maybe I'll give the gospel every month or two, but every day? Every day? Do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Now, I'm just going to tell you, that's a much higher standard than what I'm asking you to resolve to do this morning. That means everywhere you go, in every circumstance, and every person you meet, you ought to be giving the gospel to them, and I should too. I've not even gone that far. All I'm saying to you this morning is, why don't you make a commitment, a resolution, that one person every day will hear the gospel come out of my lips? They say in sales, for every 10 times you ask, you'll get one yes. For every 10 phone calls you make, you'll get one good, positive response out of it. I'll be honest with you, I'm in sales throughout most of the week, and I can say that ain't even close. It's more like out of every 100 times you ask, you'll probably get one person. I had somebody tell me one time, said, oh, it doesn't do any good to go knocking doors anymore in churches. We knocked on over 500 of them one time, didn't have a single person even show up. I said, yeah, I mean, that means you need to knock 1,000, amen, and then come back. And you say, well, it didn't work at 1,000. We'll go for 2,000 and see how it works. I'm just saying, every time you might not get the desired result, but I will tell you something. If you go out every day and if you ask every time, you will occasionally get a yes. Jesus likened soul winning to fishing. He said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. That means men are a lot like fish. That means lost men are a lot like fish. Who in here has ever gone fishing? I'm going to tell you, I should not ever be teaching a lesson on fishing to any of you. I'm the worst fisherman you've ever met. I've gone several times in my life. I catch like nothing. I like sitting there. I like having the hook in the water, I guess, but I don't tend to get much on there. But do you know part of my problem? Part of my problem is I don't go enough. I might go once a year at best. But do you know something? If you went every day, do you think those odds would change? If you threw that hook out in the water and you did it every single day, I'm going to tell you something. Those fish might not even like what's on the line, but one of them is going to accidentally run into the thing and get caught on it eventually. In other words, if you fish every day, you will catch a fish at some point. Amen? And if you give the gospel every day, you're bound to lead somebody to Christ. I want you to think about this. I promise you I'm done. We'll get ready to have a time of invitation here in a moment. But let me just say this. If you only got one out of every 10 people you asked to believe on Christ, if you gave the gospel to 10, and only one out of every 10 actually believed on Him, I want you to think about this. 9 times you would be rejected. 9 times you'd be kicked off the doorstep. 9 times you'd be told to hush. 9 times you'd be told, well, I've got my religion, you've got yours. But one time somebody believed. That means if you did it every day in the year 2019, you would have led 36 people to Jesus Christ. 36 people who would have died and been in hell, but are now saved and going to be with the Lord for eternity because you gave the gospel every day. Say, well, preacher, I don't even think one out of 10 will work. More like one out of 100. That's fine. Give the gospel every day in 2019. And if only one out of 100 believe, that'll have been 2 or 3 people in this world who have been saved because you gave the gospel to them. I want you to think about this real quick for just a moment. Imagine those odds if every person in Ball Road Baptist Church, this is a down Sunday, we usually have 55, 60 people on a Sunday morning. Imagine if 55 to 60 believers, let's say 55 of them, did the same thing, resolved that every day I'm going to give the gospel, every day I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, every day I'm going to implore them to come and be saved, and they only got 2 of them. But if you take 55 people, that means that'd be 110 people we led to Christ in Ball Road Baptist Church in 2019. If each of us got to 3, which is very possible, imagine that. You'd be looking at 165 people born again into God's family. You say, why? Because people just determine every day, I'm going to let one person know what Jesus has done for them. What I want you to get a hold of this morning is that it's one thing to say we're going to do it. It's one thing to say, I'll serve the Lord in my house. But it's altogether different to actually do something to ensure it gets done. You say, what should I do this year, preacher? Well, there's a couple things you can do. You can say, Lord, I'll read the Bible every day. Lord, I'll spend time in prayer every single day. Lord, I'm going to find some way, somehow, to minister to people every day this next year. Lord, every day, as you give me chance, as you give me an opportunity, I'm going to give the gospel to somebody in 2019. Can I say this? If you do those things, I believe you'll find by the end of 2019 that as for you and your house, you serve the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. I thank you for the attentiveness of your people this morning. I pray now, Lord, that you'd bless in this time of invitation. Draw us unto yourself. May we not just let this slide through our ears, but Lord, may we make the changes that are necessary to accomplish your service, your work, as we go through the coming year. Bless us now, Lord, as we sing, as we come, and work in our hearts, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen.